Bangles und Julia Stone mit The Beast auf Flux FM, ein Stück Musik aus dem Jahre 2008. Heute Abend spielt die Band, das hatte ich schon erwähnt, im schönen Heimathafen in Neukölln. Und jetzt stehen beide plus Robin Ben bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen über die neue Scheibe, die am 1.8. erscheinen wird und die niemand geringerer produziert hat als Rick Rubin. Das ist ja der Produzent überhaupt, könnte man fast sagen. Wir finden ein bisschen raus, wie Rick es geschafft hat, das eigentlich mittlerweile getrennte musizierende Geschwisterpärchen wieder zusammenzubringen. Wir sprechen über einen größeren Bandsound, der ja wohl auch im Festival-Kontext gerade eben noch funktioniert hat. Wir reden über Zirkuszelte, das gemeinsame Schreiben, die Teenager-Jahre der beiden und noch vieles, vieles mehr. First of all, hello, Angus and Julia Stone.
Yo.
Hey.
Yo. What's up? And hello to Robin Ben, who are sitting in the back waiting for their part of the job, which is playing live with the band. So how are you doing? How's traveling been so far? Where are you coming from? I think you did some festivals, right, in the last days?
Yeah, we played Best Kept Secret Festival yesterday in Holland, and that was pretty cool. We got taken on a safari because the location is in the zoo, on the zoo.
And it's so secretive that you didn't know where to go before? They had to be...
I didn't know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, secret. You had to have a secret code word.
You played in the zoo?
Yeah,
and I guess it was... And animals were watching, kind of?
They weren't watching, but they could hear.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they could definitely hear. But they were far enough away that they couldn't see.
Okay, so no elephant trumpet solo.
There were some kind of animals watching as well, human animals.
Okay, that's cool though. We have to congratulate you on your upcoming new album, which has been produced basically by the most popular producer of all times, Rick Rubin. He's basically produced the soundtrack of my life, really. I mean, if I was only to listen to Rick Rubin produced albums, that would be no problem for me, because I love every single one that he did. He basically started with Slayer, Def Jam Recordings, did the Beastie Boys, Run DMC in his early phase. Then he went on with bands like the Chili Peppers. He reinvented Johnny Cash. That's what one can say as well. And the story goes on and on. And I've read that he listened to your music at a party and fell in love with it. And then he contacted you per email. Is that right?
Yeah. I was on tour for my solo record, and so was Angus. And we got an email saying that Rick wanted to meet us and talk about working together. So he came to both of our shows in LA, our separate shows, and we met up with him and spent some time. And then he said he wanted to make a record with Angus and I together, back together. So.
Yeah, but I've read that the first thing that had to be done was to convince you to read that email, because you were like, "Yeah, there's an email from some producer. I don't want to read it, because actually me and Angus, we're going on solo tours. It's all good. What's the matter with that guy?" And then a friend of yours was like, "It's Rick Rubin writing. You have to read that email.
Yeah.
It may be the most important thing that you do in your life."
Yeah, it was my friend Jessie, actually. She helps me out with my emails sometimes, and she was going through and she saw this one. And, you know, you get a lot of emails, and sometimes you just kind of like see the title, like producer or something. And I knew that Angus and I weren't going to work together for a while. So to me, it was an email that didn't need to be read. So it's like, skip to the next one.
That is so cool. I mean, I know bands that would kill like one of their members to get an email from Rick Rubin. They would like basically choose it in the rehearsal room. Like, who can be the guy who's going to be killed? Maybe the bass player? Is it going to be the drummer? You know what I'm saying? And you were like, "Oh, that's an email about a producer. I don't really want to read it." I think that's really crazy, actually. And then the next thing is that...
It's just really lazy, actually. Yeah.
Lazy and
not crazy.
Yeah. But then the next thing you did was you went to visit Rick, and you basically just to tell him that you won't work with him. Is that true too?
No, not at all. Okay. It was more to tell him, like, well, I wanted to meet him and so did Angus, but it was more just to let him know that Angus and I were not working together at that time, and we didn't have plans to. And so I guess it was just a case of for us as well, hearing, you know, his thoughts about it and getting to know him. And then for Angus and I, we had to sort of spend time to figure out what kind of record we could make together and if we wanted to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, it has advantages to not know a person like Rick Rubin so good, because I think there's bands that are intimidated as well. As soon as he turns up, you'd be like, oh, I think my music totally sucks. Rick Rubin is here and I don't know which demo to play to him or something. But when you don't have that super respect for this guy, you're just like, yeah, Rick, listen to that. I think it's kind of cool, like Jay-Z did with 99 Problems. Well, the thing is that you guys, the cool thing about the new record is that you both recorded and written the album together for the first time. Because I think in the previous recordings, you both did your job in your corner of the boxing ring, and then you kind of got back into the studio and started recording. But this time you've written together. How important is that for the new album and the ongoing tour?
Yeah, you know, we made the decision and we'd go over and live in LA and make the record with Rick. And we got over there and we're kind of like, how's this going to work? And then, I don't know, something happened there when you were saying, you know, something cool about that uncertainty. Yeah, something clicked and we had a jam room and we recorded everything. And a lot of the writing that I think of it now was done in the car on the way home from the studio, listening back to the jams, and we were kind of talking about, you know, what that moment meant to the song, and I think that's when Julia and I actually started writing together.
Yeah, and I think car rides as an inspiration are totally underrated, because I know from so many bands that the most inspirational moment that they have with their music is when they put the CD with the rough mixes into the car stereo and then they drive around town and then be like, oh, we have to do a guitar solo there, we have to think about the lyrics right there. So it's a perfect tool for producing, actually, a car with a good stereo in there.
Yeah.
Rick actually has the most amazing car stereo, and he when we finished the first bunch of rough mixes, he took us for a drive up the coast, and it's amazing. He listens to the music so loud and like really amazing stereo system. Yeah. So wherever you sit in the car, and then he undoes the hood of the car and just drive and listen, and it's so inspiring. Car rides, traveling.
Again, a moment other bands would kill for. I can promise you that, to have a car ride with Rick Rubin listening to your own demos on the coast. I mean, that's crazy. I'm almost crying right now. So, and before I start crying, let's listen to another song of yours, a new song of yours. You brought Robin Benn with you, and you brought your beautifully sounding instruments with you. So we're going to be listening to a new song, right?
Yeah, this is a song called Grizzly Bear.
So here we go. Angus and Julia Stone live auf Lux FM.
Bye.
live auf Lux FM. Großer Applaus, Stadium Applause from us. It's great. I had goosebumps all over my body. And I wanted to use the word groovy, as Rick Rubin did during the recordings a lot. That's what I read, at least, right? He was like, oh, that's groovy. Or how did he pronounce it? I want to know how Rick Rubin pronounces the word groovy, actually.
I don't know if I can replicate Rick. Yeah, he's beyond replication.
Yeah, that's true. That's totally true. That's what makes him so unique.
But
is it true that he did use the word groovy a lot? Because I have the feeling that there's a little bit more groove on that record than on previous recordings. The beat is a little bit more in the foreground, not too much in the background anymore.
Yeah, he definitely wanted us to make something that was more beat inspired. Yeah. And like, he also mixes in a really interesting way where he likes to push the vocals and the drum and bass, and we hadn't mixed like that before, and it was a new sort of new way of mixing the record. And at first it was like surprising to us to hear the music like that, but now I think, it's good.
It's another step that you've made as a band, and I think it's really good for the bigger festival audiences and stages, because if you play on them without a drum set and really, really silent music, you know, you know what I'm saying, but stage,
totally.
You know, the center stage rock band, they could totally fuck up your set because one can still hear their music through your microphones or something like that. So I think it's a good idea to use more beats and more grooves on that new record. And we just mentioned that he's brought you together as a brother and sister duo. Again, you've been writing together, so he's not just only a producer but a family therapist or something like that as well.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. He's mad chill. When you sit down with him and you're talking, it's, you know, he's talking to you. He's the one there, and you're talking about, you know, cool things.
Yeah, that's cool. Because, I mean, he could act like a living legend because he is one, but obviously he isn't acting like one, and that's a cool thing too. So let's listen to another song before we give away the last tickets. I think we basically just have time for another track. Which one are we going to be listening to?
We're going
to
play a song called Heartbeat Slow.
Oh, and that's what your doctor told you, right? I read about that as well. Angus went to the doctor and asked if everything was all right, and the doctor said, everything is all right, but your heart beats really slow. And here's the song inspired by that story. Hier sind sie nochmal, die großartigen Angus and Julia Stone, live auf Lux FM.
Slow. But my heart beats slow.
Applause once again for Angus and Julia Stone. Come on, applaud with me because you deserved it. That was a great live performance. Thank you a lot, and thank you for visiting our little station here. Have good fun at tonight's sold-out show. I have the last tickets that I can give away right now. Also ihr da draußen, wer noch mal hin möchte zu Angus und Julia Stone heute Abend im Heimathafen Neukölln. Ich habe hier die allerletzten Eintrittskarten zu liegen, wie man so schön sagt. Mickey Sitsch ist auch noch mit im Spiel. Sie ist am Telefon und erwartet eure Anrufe. 030 2000 9000 lautet die Nummer, zum Glück im wahrsten Sinne des Wortes. Berlin 2000 9000, bitte jetzt anrufen für die allerletzten Karten für Angus und Julia Stone heute Abend im Heimathafen. But you guys are gonna come back in the fall or something to promote the record that had been put out until then or something.
Yeah, I think we're coming back in November.
Yes. Yeah, that's good for all those people who can't make it tonight and they're crying their eyes out in front of the radio right now. We have to give them some hope for the fall. So, Angus and Julia Stone sind nochmal im November zurück, dann mit der Platte im Gepäck, die am 1.8. erscheinen wird. On the 1st of August, it's going to come out, the new album called Angus and Julia Stone, produced by Rick Rubin. Thanks a lot for visiting us and see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.